1920s, London. Radcliffe Hall was pacing around her study. She wore close-cropped hair, a tweed skirt, and a man's silk smoking jacket and tie. Her partner, Uma Trowbridge, sat in a nearby chair, reading the writing of Radcliffe, or John as she preferred to be called. But just as Uma's voice wavered a bit, John grabbed the papers from her hand and threw them in the fire. This is Love Your Work, and I'm David Cadavy. In the 1920s, throwing writing in the fire meant it was gone forever. These weren't printouts of digital files safely backed up to the cloud. But Radcliffe still often threw her writing into the fire if she didn't like the sound of what Uma was reading. Radcliffe Hall, like many great creators, understood the iceberg principle. What I call the iceberg principle is this: what you see of any masterpiece is just the tip of the iceberg. There is far more knowledge and work beneath the surface, giving the piece confidence and grace. The iceberg principle is inspired by Ernest Hemingway, who said, "The dignity of movement of an iceberg is due to only 1/8 of it being above water." He explained further, "I've seen the marlin mate and know about that, so I leave that out. I've seen a school or pod of more than 50 sperm whales in that same stretch of water once and harpooned one nearly 60 feet in length and lost him. So I left that out. All the stories I know from the fishing village, I leave out. But the knowledge is what makes the underwater part of the iceberg." In other words, when Hemingway wrote The Old Man and the Sea, he didn't need to include every story and every detail about the life of a fisherman. He had already lived it. His experiences fishing were the underwater part of the iceberg. The stories and details he did include were only the tip of the iceberg. They were more powerful because they were held in place by everything beneath the surface. If I say, "I'm David, I grew up in Nebraska, I now live in Columbia," I've only said three statements, but each of those statements is held in place by a massive amount of knowledge and experience. When I say, "I grew up in Nebraska," 18 years of open skies and snowdrifts and cornfields flash in my mind. When I say, "I'm David," more than 40 years of being called David are behind that. I've never had a different name. When you read a book by Daniel Kahneman and he tells you something about human behavior, there's a lot of authority behind everything he says. Each statement he makes is backed up by mountains of data and decades of running experiments and seeing it with his own eyes. While he maintains the humble uncertainty of a real scientist, there's confidence and grace behind each statement. Just think of how much work, experience, and knowledge went behind Einstein writing the simple equation, E equals mc squared. This is something Radcliffe Hall seemed to understand. It didn't matter if she threw her writing into the fire and started over. When she heard Uma's voice waver, that signaled to her that her stories or her characters weren't flowing on the page confidently. The same way snow and ice layers onto an iceberg, making it bigger over time, pushing more of it underwater over time, it took many iterations for Hall to write classics such as The Well of Loneliness, the first great novel of lesbian literature. Each time she threw writing into the fire, the paper burned, but the iceberg didn't melt. It only gained mass. Why should you keep the iceberg principle in mind? The iceberg principle helps you manage expectations about your work. It also takes some of the mystery out of great masterpieces you see. That last part first. When we see a masterpiece, we can't help but marvel at how it must have been made. What we see is deceiving because we tend to mistake the product for the process. This is because the way we consume the product is very different from the process through which that product is produced. When we read a novel, we read one word after another. When we see a painting, it hits our eyes all at once. When we watch a movie, the images flash on the screen in order. But that's not how any of it is made. The novel wasn't written one word after another. The painting wasn't laid down in orderly brushstrokes. The events in the movie weren't shot, much less conceived, one after another. And no, Michelangelo did not simply remove everything that wasn't David. as I talked about in Mind Management, Not Time Management, an enormous amount of preparation went into carving the David. So when you see a great masterpiece and marvel at how it must have been created, know that the product is not the process. What you see is only the tip of the iceberg. It might feel intimidating to know that what you see of any masterpiece is only a small amount of the work and experience it took to create it. But it can be empowering too. Don't get frustrated when you sit down and write and it doesn't make sense. Don't lose hope when you strum a guitar and the strings rattle on the frets. Things don't come out perfectly the first time around. I've talked a little on this podcast and in The Heart to Start about the fortress fallacy, that we tend to have visions that outpace our current abilities. One reason we fall for the fortress fallacy is that when we envision building a fortress, we only think of the act of building the actual fortress. We don't think about the other 7/8 of the work that goes into the knowledge and planning and material sourcing of building the fortress. The underwater part of the iceberg can take many forms. For Hemingway, it was his life experiences fishing. For Hall, it was the many failed iterations of her writing. The underwater part of the iceberg can be other projects you've done, other projects you never finished, or even time your ideas have spent incubating between projects. Any of these can be the underwater part of the iceberg. They hold up the visible parts with confidence and grace. We rarely get to see the underwater part of icebergs in creators' work, but if you look hard, you can find it. There are few art forms where the process is more unlike the product than movies. If you asked me when I was a kid how movies were made, I would have guessed actors and camera operators just made something up. That's how the movies I made on our home video camera were done, after all. But in fact, an incredible amount of work goes into making a movie well before camera operators are hired and actors are cast. I know now that a writer writes a screenplay first, and thanks to screenwriting instructor Robert McKee's book Story, we can see the underwater part of the iceberg. McKee warns screenwriters that if every idea they come up with makes it into their final screenplay, they've got a problem. If you've never thrown an idea away, he says, your work will almost certainly fail. The iceberg principle is why Stephen King tells writers, kill your darlings. So don't dare try to keep your whole iceberg above water, even your favorite parts. It's why when Meredith Monk is composing an interdisciplinary performance, she draws charts and graphs about how the various elements, music and dance and space on the stage, will interact with one another. None of those sketches make it into the final performance, but that work is there to add grace to the piece. It's why Jerry Seinfeld has described the joke writing process as an experiment that gathers data. In other words, you don't just get up on stage and tell a great joke. You have to go from writing desk to stage and back many times. He said of his joke writing process, it's 95% rewrite. It's why when Margaret Mitchell was writing Gone with the Wind, she rewrote nearly every chapter at least 20 times. When we see masterpieces we admire and try to replicate that work, we're bound to fail. What we create is so far from our vision, it seems pointless to even try. But thanks to the iceberg principle, you now know that what you see of any masterpiece is just the tip of the iceberg. To build your masterpiece, start building your iceberg. The more you add to the underwater part of your iceberg, the more solid and beautiful your masterpiece will be. Thank you for having me on your podcast. Thank you to Kjell Vandevera of Coffee and Pens. One thing I've learned in over a decade as an independent creator is to invest in ideas. They really are everything. Most of them don't work out, but the ones that do can be big. I had one idea that led to a book deal and transformed my life. I had another idea that connected me with a company that later sold to Google, which brought a surprise payday. Big ideas start small, and the place I share my ideas first is my weekly newsletter. It's called Love Mondays, and each week I share a big little idea about how to break through to become a true original and make it as a creator. I also share my favorite quotes and books and tools for thought. Think of Love Mondays as like a shot of creative fuel to start off your week. There's several thousand subscribers. We're having a good time. Join Love Mondays at kdv.co/newsletter. That's kdv.co/newsletter. You might have noticed I don't have ads on Love Your Work. I haven't had them for a long time now. In fact, a big company whose name you would definitely recognize offered me money to advertise in this show recently, and I had to turn it down. Why? Because some money feels good, some money feels not as good. When I see that somebody bought one of my books, that feels good. When a company advertises on the show, I mean, it's money, but that doesn't feel quite as good. Another kind of money that feels really good is the money I get from my Patreon supporters. It feels like an honest exchange. It's a vote of confidence that they like the show. Since I myself support a number of creators on Patreon, I know it feels good to vote with my dollars and support the kind of work I would like to see in the world. And that's what I'm trying to do here. Make the kind of podcast I want to listen to and share the ideas I want to see in the world. So if you like the show, a great way to let me know is to support the show on Patreon. Even a few bucks a month helps. It really adds up over all the dedicated listeners, and it motivates me to keep doing what I'm doing. If you'd like to support the show, visit the Patreon page at patreon.com/katavi. You'll see the different levels and perks available. Even if you're on the fence, check out the page. Again, it's at patreon.com/katavi. That's patreon.com/katavi. Thanks for your support. Love Your Work is brought to you exclusively by our Patreon supporters, including top supporters Jeffrey Mason, Bob Rosen, and Pravin Shaker. The theme music for Love Your Work is At Sea by Durena from the album About Everything and More by arrangement with Deep Elm Records at deepelm.com. Love Your Work is a production of Katavi, Inc.